Sorry I didn't bring more to share. Before we turn to our scriptures for this day, let us first turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. God of extravagant grace and generosity, send your spirit to refresh our hearts through the reading of these scriptures this day, that we may perceive all the good that we can do for Christ's church, and so to grow in our faith, in our desire towards you. Amen. Our scripture, first scripture reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 55. Let's listen now for God's word to the church. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
On this Sunday, which henceforth will be recalled as M&M Sunday at Highland, we turn to our New Testament reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, the ninth chapter, reading verses 6 through 15. You may follow along on page 183 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Listen now for God's word. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The word of the Lord. Was I the only one chuckling when Paul speaks of the indescribable gift that he has just gone on and on describing? He can sure throw the words around, can't he? Well, it is no secret that today is Stewardship Dedication Sunday at Highland. As one of my colleagues once put it, this is the day in the lives of congregations when pastors preach the Sermon on the Mount. This fall, we have been particularly mindful of the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, when Martin Luther used the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany, to post his 95 theses or arguments about what was wrong with the church. In doing so, Luther ended up opening up doors for the renewal of the church, a renewal for which we continue to be thankful. Beyond pointing out what was wrong with the church in his time, what Luther laid hold of more than anything else was a discovery of the grace of God as the foundation of any and everything that happens in the church. Through his engagement with the Apostle Paul, Luther reoriented the faith of an entire tradition, and we are still benefiting from his discovery. What Luther learned from Paul and what we remember this day is that the response to grace is not guilt, but gratitude. And gratitude manifests itself in a life of generosity. These three, grace, gratitude, generosity, are not optional extras in the Christian life, as Tom Wright once said. They are together at the very heart of all that we are and all that we do. Grace, gratitude, generosity are each rooted in relationships. God with us, us with each other. They also find their deepest roots not in a spirit of scarcity, but in an awareness of the abundance of grace and love that can be found in any season of our life and faith. Taken together, they form us to be a certain kind of people in the world. I've shared with some of you before about two doctors that I knew when we lived in South Carolina in our town there, who served in that community for the whole of their lives. They would each arrive in their offices about the same time each morning, but their morning routines were very different. The first doctor would arrive in his office, he'd open the newspaper, and he would turn to the financial section, and he would see how his various investments were doing. The second doctor, who actually was a graduate of the Bowman Gray School of Medicine, no less, would look at the roster of the patients that he was going to see that day, and he spent time wondering about what might be going on with them as they came to see him. Now, during the time that I knew these two, the stock market took a nosedive, as it's done through the years, and the effect on the two couldn't have been more different. Sure, they both took a hit financially, but the one who was so focused on the financial stuff sunk into a deep depression. The other kept going pretty much the same way that he had been doing all the way along. There's something about the way that he oriented his life every day that helped him make it through that tough time. Now, in our reading from 2 Corinthians this morning, Paul sees relationships everywhere. First of all, he says, is that fundamental relationship that we have with God, rooted in God's grace, which affects every part of our lives. He says, whatever it is that we have comes from the grace of God, the God who provides us with every blessing in abundance. This God is interested in the well-being of everyone. God scatters abroad and gives to the poor. God provides seed for the sower, which enables good work. We can't look at a thing that we have without thinking about God and the way that God continues to relate to us and provide for us, the God from whom all blessings flow. Grace is the key to understanding our relationship with this God. But Paul also ties grace and generosity and gratitude together in such a way that one of them is constantly leading to the other as he reflects. Gratitude is the response to the grace that's at the heart of Paul's ministry and proclamation, the grace that's at the very heart of who God is for us and with us. Your generosity will produce gratitude among those who receive this offering and will help them know of God's grace, Paul tells the Corinthians. The grace of God's abundance, which enables the Corinthians to share generously, ties those who share and those who receive the offering to which, for which he writes to the Corinthians about, ties the giver and the receiver together in bonds of gratitude for one another. Grace is at the heart of all of this, God's relationship with us and toward one another. Gratitude is the response to that grace and to the grace of generosity as it draws giver and receiver together. Generosity is at the heart of both grace and gratitude as God's heart and our hearts come together, moving towards one another in increasing bonds and connection. In all of this, Paul says again and again, what we have is abundance. Bountiful, overflowing abundance. That's what my second doctor friend knew. He knew that the relationships were what mattered the most. And so while the market's decline hurt, it did not affect him ultimately. Those relationships were intact. And he was still able to go about the fullness of his life, sharing generously the same way that he'd always done. One of the saints in the church from long ago, John Chrysostom, knew this as well. He was the bishop of Constantinople at the end of the 4th century, and he came to believe that wealth is a means to an end. What he calls communication, or koinonia, what we would call fellowship. Now, others in his time said that that communication, or koinonia, was a means to improve business, sort of a 4th century version, maybe, of networking. But Chrysostom said it's actually the other way around. He said that the purpose of business and labor was fellowship and relationship. He knew that wealth in itself is not bad. Indeed, it can be a great good. But when it's not shared, he knew that it had the potential to pull people apart. That's why he continually challenged people to be generous. Rich and poor alike need one another, he said. We all have something to share. We all have something that we need and that we lack. This is by God's design, Chrysostom said, so that we would love each other because we need each other. I continue to see that same pattern of generous sharing, enriching relationships in the life of the church. I encourage you to think for a moment about the way that our generosity here, by which we are connected in relationship with God and with others, enables so many good things to happen. Our generosity with our time and our talent certainly is a means of connection. The fellowship of shared labor on a church work day, as members old and new work side by side on this space that we love. The fellowship of love and care with a toddler in the church nursery, or as children learn Bible stories in FaithNet. The fellowship of care with members who are ill or grieving, in which we are angels for one another, messengers of God's love and presence. The fellowship of learning, in which we grow in love for God and deepen our relationships with our fellow learners as we explore Scripture, current events, in light of the grace of God's love. The fellowship of preparing for, serving, and even cleaning up the meals that we share at Fling each week, or our monthly meal at this table, the fellowship of care and service in the community as we live and serve as ambassadors of the reconciling work of Jesus Christ with neighbors who need us, be they in a homeless shelter or elderly neighbors at home. Every sharing of time and talent is a means by which God works within our lives to establish and renew and deepen our relationships. In this generous sharing of time and energy, we put flesh on our gratitude and witness to the grace that draws us together in the first place. As one of our saints of Highland memorably said, we are all of us busier than ever, but we still have time for the things that matter to us. Our generosity with money is also a means of relationship. Some of what we give enables us to have this space in which we gather for worship, and the organ that stirs our souls, and a musician to lead us, and hymnals and Bibles and pastors and liturgists and choirs to point to the God who loves us and has big plans for us and great expectations of us. Some of what we give goes for very practical things, just like we have at home. Lights and heat and cleaning supplies, postage, phones, computers, email, and the like. Not very exciting, but certainly necessary. Some of what we give enables us to have gathering space for learning and fellowship and serving, classrooms and an activity building used by church and community alike. You may have heard recently that the use of that building has expanded to the point that in the course of a typical year, we have nearly 60 groups from outside of the church who meet there for various and sundry purposes. Our ministry magnified through the work that they do when they gather there. Some of what we give enables learning and growth and transformation to take place within those spaces, curriculum, programs, and the people who lead us in those ministries. Some of what we give connects us with the community and the world around us, food for hungry people, connections with and through our denomination to ministries happening around the world, fellowship and resources for older adults, emergency support, but also life-transforming learning for those who are seeking to rise beyond poverty. Ongoing efforts to make a difference in the racial challenges that we have here in Winston-Salem, as well as the people who help connect us for all of these opportunities. Not a moment that is shared, not an ounce of energy that is expended, not a dollar that's put in the offering plate. None of it is an end in itself. There's nothing that we do with the time, talent, money that is offered that isn't one way or another about relationships, about increasing our love for God and our love for our neighbors, as our generosity manifests our gratitude for the grace of God that gives us life and life together in the first place. When we give this way, we are sharing in God's own life and way of being. God loves a cheerful giver because God is a cheerful giver. When we give this way, we open up new doors by which others can know the same grace of God that has claimed us and is the foundation in which we shape our lives. So let us share generously, not for sake of guilt, thank you, Martin Luther, but because God is good and our life together is a means of grace for us and for our neighbors. Such sharing is a means by which we grow together in mission and fellowship as a church. Guided by Paul's witness as we are, we remember that everything we give is offered for sake of building these relationships, as grace evokes gratitude, and gratitude results in generosity, and generosity provides new occasions for people to experience grace, which evokes further gratitude, a life-giving cycle that keeps going, that has been going for millennia and caught us up in it now, even as we anticipate sharing it with those who come behind us. As we dedicate our pledges this day, may God bless to us the relationships that our giving enables, that our days may be full to overflowing with life and love and joy and peace, that we may be of good use for God's purposes in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.